So announce, if you want to, the postponement of that. And then when we get to that line item, this is where we can reset for the public hearing.
Thank you. It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, January 28th, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. And I'm not sure where the appropriate place to make the announcement is, but we'll do it right now. The information sent out about the public hearing tonight was inadvertently incomplete, and so we've been advised to not proceed with that tonight. It's our intention to schedule it for the next Planning Commission meeting, and we apologize. Those of you who might be here for that are welcome to stay for the rest of the Planning Commission meeting, or not, if you'd rather not. Could I have a volunteer for an invocation and to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to gather together tonight as Planning Commission and as city members. We ask that as we discuss the items on the agenda tonight, that we might be able to be in tune with thee and that we might be able to listen for the public comment and be able to understand the things that we're going to discuss. We ask thee for thy spirit to attend us in this meeting, and we love thee and are grateful for this beautiful area which we live, and ask for the moisture that we so badly need. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number two on the agenda is appointments. We'll have a first alternate, Richard Howard, swearing in. Nancy.
I, Richard Howard,
having been appointed to the office of Planning Commissioner Alternate,
to the office of Planning Commissioner Alternate,
do solemnly swear that I will support,
obey and defend
the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of this state,
and that I will discharge the duties
of my office with fidelity.
Thank you. Item number C is approval of tonight's agenda.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda. I'll second that with the help that we make the adjustments on the first.
Motion by Matt, second by Kyson. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number D, approval of the minutes of the January 14th regular meeting.
I move that we approve the January 14th regular meeting.
Second.
Motion by Sherm, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number F is the public hearing, which won't happen tonight, but at this time, I would entertain a motion to put that on the next Planning Commission agenda.
That'd be February 11th.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and move that we move the public hearing discussing ordinance amending the definition of detached accessory dwelling units to allow short-term rentals to the February 11th regular plan.
I'll second that.
Motion by Kyson, second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
And thank you to those who came prepared, and we apologize. Item number G, business. Oh, we missed item number E. item number E, reports. City Council, John?
Prior to last week's regular meeting, we had a work session to discuss the Liberty City Secondary Water Feasibility Study. The study was initially planned to look at setting rates to gain funds to pay for the replacement system that we've now entered into an agreement with the Water Conservancy District about. But the it looks like the we'll still be looking at adopting the study and possibly a rate increase for secondary water. I would say, you know, people should watch it because it will come to a public hearing either our next session or shortly thereafter. Aside from that, there was a minor budget amendment, which was then additionally amended to allow monies for fixing the locks at the new restroom facilities down in Wanlas and some trail maintenance monies. In addition to that, there were the three items that the Planning Commission worked on last session that were adopted, changing our codes in those three areas. And lastly, there was some discussion about the membership on the ZRC, the Zion Regional Collaborative. So that's my report.
Thank you. Derek?
I have nothing tonight.
Thank you. Okay, item number G, business. Discussion and possible action to recommend approval of an ordinance amending the definition of that's with the public hearing, and that will be postponed also. Number two, discussion regarding proposed changes in the general commercial, retail commercial, and tourist commercial zones. Brad, are you? Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and the Commission. Derek asked me to take a look at the commercial zones for this round, for this process that we're going through. And I took a look at your commercial zone, your commercial zone, and also your zones here. And what I'm trying to do here is make everything more consistent and look better, try and straighten out some things and clean up some things. Unfortunately, tonight I don't have a video. Working, so I'm reading the paper stuff. And what I want to do is kind of walk through the areas that are highlighted in yellow, because that's the only thing that's really changing or recommended to be changed in zoning. When it comes to both the Comar zone and your commercial zone, the changes are going to be exactly the same. So if you want to flip to the first portion. Is uses what we've added in here, and we have this in some of your other zones, so that uses are subject to similar use plan. Basically, what that's saying is that you've got a list of permitted uses, and if somebody comes before you and presents to you an argument as to why another use should be added in there, you use a line of question, yes, that's okay, and that use can be permitted in there. Next page, and this is something that Derek wanted me to look at. You see where it says C note number 3, there was a need for some additional setbacks, and what I really looked at was more like registry landscaping or not. So the setback here is the 35 feet adjacent to SR9, but 15 of that should be landscaped. How that's going to be landscaped will be dependent upon the development and what they bring to take a look at.
Will that preclude people from parking along SR9? I'm not on SR9, but off the street, but facing SR9?
Well, not necessarily. You're going to have a 35-foot setback from the right way of SR9. Of course, that's going to be landscaped. There could be parking that fronts or faces SR9. It just kind of depends on how it's done. There could be a building there, too. It's just an at least you get the mic taken now. That's before the meeting. We also added in the building setbacks adjacent to residential zone areas shall be 20 feet. And then 10 of that should be landscaped, which is a little bit more than we had before. And this is kind of a big one that kind of came along, and that all structures on the lot should not exceed 50% of the lot area. So you don't have commercial area that's just all building. It's rare that would happen, but it could possibly happen. So the intent of this is try to keep some symmetry between parking, landscaping, those type of things and areas. And then there's some development standards that have been added. You already have to block walls in there. I got into the parking requirements, which there's nothing new about the parking requirements, the loading areas, the trash enclosures, your street improvements. All of these you've seen before as part of the mixed-use zone and some of the other zones we brought forward. The other thing I added into this was your application requirements. I truly believe that you as the commission should be able to see everything that comes through the door, especially these larger commercial developments. With these application requirements, you can have a precise plan, and have a site plan, you have architectural drawings, you're going to require studies if necessary, you have a landscaping plan, and you went into signage as to what the signage program should look like, and then lighting. And that's kind of it for the your COM-C and your COM-R zones. They're both the same as far as the inclusion goes. Are there any questions about these?
I did have a question on the loading areas. I didn't know if there was, I feel like I understand the intent of the loading areas, but I didn't know if there was any restrictions on having those within like the drive miles themselves. I've seen some areas where they just have like a painted first track that loading area.
Yeah, the loading areas are a little bit larger, so that can actually fit generally in just your home park spot. But again, it's going to come down to the design, and that's what the precise plan is for. So the planning commission, the staff, and all of us can look at it and say, you know what, you do have that loading space here, that doesn't make any sense, you need to move it over there.
So it doesn't have, per se, have to be next to the
building? No.
Okay. That's what I was curious.
Yeah. You'll have flexibility in all that in the design.
Okay.
Further questions, comments? It feels like this just cleans it up and clarifies things that were unclear before.
It does. Again, it provides, I think it provides whatever developer wants to do, that's what they need to do in order to get things done. And it gives you a roadmap. It's a staff roadmap. The next one I was going to talk about was tourist commercial. I don't know the background of this zone, but honestly, it's extremely confusing. And I'm sure there's a reason for it. I really kind of stuck with development requirements and approval requirements. Again, some come in because in this zone, we can't have retail. And if we use it, we can't think of right now, they can come in and ask you if this use is okay, you can approve it. So do you have that ability? Building setbacks adjacent to resident, potentially zoned areas should be 20 feet, and 10 of that should be landscaped, so we get separation between commercial and residential. Again, structures on a lot should not exceed 50% of the total lot area. And then what I did is I did add the same development standards that we just kind of went through. Block walls, parking requirements, loading areas, trash enclosures, streets, curbs, and gutters. And then I also added precise planning requirement, architectural drawing studies, landscaping, signing requirements, all those kind of things that really should be part of any type of commercial development. Pretty similar to what we just went through on the other two, but the tourist resort didn't have any of that stuff in there, and so I recommend that we put this kind of stuff in. Any questions on that?
And then on the note one, where it calls out the maximum height of the structure adjacent to the residential zone shall not exceed 18 feet. Is that for a certain distance, or is that if you have any kind of tourist commercial pad next to a residential, you're restricted? Because I know it's a lot higher if you're, it's see right here, it calls out that your structure for like a hotel or anything like that can go up to a 55 foot mark.
Yeah, as I recall, that was actually already in there. And if I were to interpret that, I would say everyone 18 feet.
That's kind of how I look at it. I think that's restricted. We may need to look at the wording on that specific.
Well, I think the reason 18 feet was there is if they're allowed to go up to zero lot line, that got restricted up to the 18 feet. If they move back.
Which is fair. We may need to put some sort of wording in there that says after a certain distance away from property line,
then it can open up.
It opens back up. Because I understand the reasoning, but it very much restricts it. If you have a parcel next to a residential subdivision, a house, your building size is 8 feet total. You can't change that. So maybe something you want to look at.
So you want to just do like a graduation type of thing, height wise?
I feel like, I mean, in my mind, the goal is to still get visibility, but not have a residential neighbor feeling like you're towering over them.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's got to transition with some sort of distances.
What would you like? Fire code would require 5 feet. Most of our setbacks, depending how you front off of a dedicated city street, would be 10. You know, at what point do you move them in to where?
Well, right now it's going to be a 20 with this new.
With your new thing. So
yeah, 20 is allowed to go up
to full height.
And there will be an 8 foot wall between residential and commercial.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the thing is you don't need the 18 feet anymore because that was kind of a carryover before I added these other.
Yeah.
So it's kind of up to you. I mean, you just need a height of the zone, which was not going to be 15 feet.
I think that's the way to do it. He's got up the 18 feet ability with his landscaping and now it's set about 20 feet. So
with a lot of wall.
Probably something we need to look at a little bit, but I'd say, yeah, we'll probably look at that route. I'm just using the flex units there as an example. Even, I'm trying to think how far they are off the property line. But they're probably, what, 20 feet? They're still powering down, so it's just something
that
you probably adjust it to keep it at 55 foot for now, and maybe just look at that one more time.
This isn't changing us from approved to conditional use in the zone, is it?
No, I didn't touch anything in regards to conditional use. And all these standards, I didn't do anything with those because I figured there was a reason for that. I'm just more addressing the commercial aspects.
Well, you did have one thing in there which is better for them. If it's not listed, as permitted, it's not permitted. But anybody that has something that's similar to it, or they're leaving it at the staff, it goes back to the planning commission, which you put in that.
Right.
Saw that. That was in the other zones also.
Yeah. If you have the ability to find similar use, make similar use on you, if you use the same box, that plus the other stuff.
Other comments?
Okay, and then finally the mixed use zone. This has been before you before. It's actually been before the council before too in the workshop session. I did not touch anything with this other than I added that the maximum lot coverage would be 50%. The reason why I didn't really touch anything is because this is really going to be a lot of you guys in council. I wrote it. It's basically mirroring what you already just looked at in the center zone.
Thank you. Item number four, discussion regarding priority list.
Can I ask a question prior to that?
Please.
Would we like Brad to go forward and put the precise plan, the architectural standards, kind of the similar thing that we have in the other three into the mixed use? There really wouldn't be any different in the mixed use. Do you already have it in there?
Yeah.
Why do you care about this? I've never seen it.
Okay.
I think what this would do is it really makes your zoning more cohesive and consistent.
Yeah. Someplace I had that priority list, but it's hiding from me now. Thank you.
Okay, so the 2026 in January, February, we just reviewed the general plan for retail, commercial, tourist, commercial mixed use zones. And I think next up should be development agreement ordinance. There's a little bit of ambiguity in that to help us with the president, and we can work together and kind of get that straightened out. And then also planning and development ordinance. That needs to be addressed because we talked about that in some of our other zones. But from my understanding from Derek, there's some issues with that, and after being through it, there are a few issues with that too. So that needs to be cleaned up. In April, May, we've been working on some residential zones. One would be the R16 zone, high density residential 14, maybe 14 units per acre, and then medium density residential is probably about 8 units per acre. And then June and July, parking ordinance, and then sign ordinance. Now, parking will probably be somewhat simple. Sign ordinances are never simple. But, so I'm saying June and July, but it may take a few meetings on that kind of stuff. Most of the stuff here, except for the development agreement, PUDs, I don't think you've seen it, but you see a lot of this stuff here. So that's kind of like what we are.
Okay. And I like to look at that until those unforeseen things come and bump them back.
Hey, Brad, just when we start getting into the parking ordinance, I mentioned this with Derek, is there a way that we can coordinate and update our design standards to have, there's some parking that Kula City has some really nice visuals on parking, about parking lots, and what angles you can use, and how close you can be to a wall. Or, you know, there's quite a few different standards that would be nice to reference back to us.
And that we had already pre-planned on, because we're using what you sent us.
That would be a really nice reference to have for developers.
Honestly, I haven't looked at your parking ordinance yet, but you know, most are like, you have 10 stalls, you've got a landscape island, you've got a landscape island in front, you can do parallel site. There's all different things. It's just how you're going to divide it and how you make it look better. And that's something we're going to look at.
Okay. Yeah, and
especially these commercial problems.
There's a lot that was unclear or vague that it'd be nice to spell out with some exhibits and some things.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. That. Signing will work well. Parking will work well to begin with that kind of stuff.
Thank you again. None of these things require action tonight. Further discussion on anything we've discussed. Okay, they'll come back to us in the future as an action item. Which takes us to item number H. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
Motion by Sherm, second by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.